This meditation is based on a little article by a Buddhist teacher called, and I'll send you the article, called Thupten Chodron. She's an American person. That's her Tibetan Buddhist ordained name. She actually runs a little monastery about an hour out of Spokane. And she did a little article on meditations to develop bodhicitta. And remember, bodhicitta is that technical term that Norman didn't translate, around having this altruistic but also equanimous mind and approach to life, you know, caring for the world in a way that's balanced and in a way that includes that sense of openness, that sort of sense of the world beyond the nitty-gritty world. So we'll do that and see what comes up. There's a little pile of chats. Yeah, thanks, Laura. Yeah, we should get coffee sometime. Yeah. Yeah, why do we lie to people? It's terrible. I'm glad to see you. Maybe that's enough. Yeah. I'm glad to keep moving. All right. So how do you want to place your body? How do you want to orient your attention? You're all experienced practitioners. I'm glad that sometimes when I rattle on, it's helpful reminders, but I also want to leave plenty of room for each of us to do our own way, you know, have and find and support your own way of practicing. And every practice session pretty much should start with, you know, shifting gears, grounding, gathering attention, remembering in a felt way, experiencing in a felt way that we're right here and right now, just radically so, you know. We're not only kind of here, you know. We just think that way and feel that way when we're distracted. We're completely here. It's the only place to be. And we're only kind of here. We're kind of nowhere, actually. So whatever that process is for you, and it is a process, right? So it requires patience and gentleness and time of grounding on an object in your awareness, maybe, like the breath or the body and the environment. Grounding makes it sound like it's something you just do once, but of course it's not once. Maybe orienting towards is better. Gently leaning towards. Settling into. Whatever that is for you. As I think about it, like an invitation from myself, you know, from my experience, an invitation from my breathing, living body to be present, to be fully here. other sort of object you can include in this grounding process. You can include conceptual objects like phrases here as well. You could breathe with just this, or may I be present, or in, out. Practice like counting the breath is a combination, right, of a mental object and physical experience, bringing mental and physical together, counting the exhales gently and softly from 1 to 10, coming back to 1 if you wander. If you haven't done that practice, I really recommend it. Very helpful. Settling, grounding, being, feeling, finding the space. Of course, accepting however that's going. Your mind's awash, or agitated, or overwhelmed by something. It's really okay in this context. And you can still turn it down a little teeny bit, probably by gently returning to an object of awareness. You get pulled immediately back to the thing that's agitating. That's okay. That's how it is right now. Maybe you can offer yourself a little compassion and just keep gently working with it. It's good to reorient our awareness that even just doing this, I mean, just this is a lot. This is beneficial all by itself. To stop, to be, to unhook a little bit from our many, many reactive patterns, at least a little bit less. To rest in awareness. Including whatever we're feeling or whatever's going on. This way of practice is complete in itself and also a good kind of springboard to other practices. As we go through a series of steps, I want to encourage you just to keep gently touching back in, you know. If the breath's your jam, just feeling the breath threaded through every moment. Feeling the body as every moment unfolds. Whatever it is that you're focused on. If I need to release from counting repeated phrases, though. You can kind of feel when you get in your head, right? So then just dropping out. Ah. The first is bringing to mind a benefactor in your life. This could be a parent, and we'll focus on the good aspects of your relationship with a parent. Could be a teacher or more like a formal mentor. Could be a dear friend who's supported you and shown you the way, set an example for you. Bring to mind someone in your life who's been that kind of a positive role model, mentor, a teacher. Doesn't have to be a formal teacher. Could be a parent too. See if you can bring to mind one being who's been a help to you in your life. Could be long ago or you saw him today. As a being comes into view, some of the ways they've helped you probably bubble up too. Let's focus here on the kindness. The kindness, the generosity, the willingness, all aspects of the same thing, which I'll call kindness for shorthand. Focus on the kindness. This person gave something deep of themselves to you. It's an act of great kindness. Just inviting her to tune in to that feeling of kindness. Does reflecting on it kind of awaken a feeling in your body now, or an emotional response? Shift in how your eyes feel, maybe, or your face or your belly. Focus on this being's great kindness towards you. And the mind has a way of arguing, don't worry about the ways that they were imperfect or could have been better, of course. But here, let's use our imagination in a gentle, directed way. Focus on the kindness. And just how does it feel to be a person, yourself, who has received such kindness, has been given such kindness? Like I mentioned, people's kindness towards me, that the meditations are really helpful. Wow. But for you, feeling of receiving this kindness maybe one time or over years and years and years. And notice if there might be in there somewhere a desire to be kind right back. We have the phrase repay their kindness, but repay isn't quite the right word, but you know what I mean. So does it awaken in with you a desire to be kind, generous, giving, right back towards this person or towards people in general? As you are a recipient of kindness, there's some emergent feeling of desire, intention to be kind, to be a kind person yourself, helpful, supportive of others in a wise way. Tuning in to the wish to repay the kindness, whatever form that takes, feeling, imagery, an idea. The focus stay on this person who was a benefactor to you? Do you want to give them kindness, or is it more like pay it forward? Their kindness can inspire you to give kindness to others. Repaying the kindness. And then the next step is actually really supported if it works for you to do the soothing touch practice. You know, hands on the heart, belly, gentle self, soft stroking maybe. Feeling that gentle touch of your own hand and your own body. And the invitation is to feel warmth and love as a emergent from this process of receiving kindness and giving kindness. having people in your life that you can exchange with at least once in a while, you know. Might bring a little more attention in the breathing to the heart center area, upper chest. See if you can feel some warmth there. It's called experience heartwarming love. Experience heartwarming love. No, inviting that experience. We can't make it up. We can make space for it. We can orient towards it. We can invite it. Experiencing love. With all these, notice if the mind pulls away into arguments or, you know, other stuff, resistance, it's okay. Then just try coming back to the intention as best you can. And then the next step is to also bring to mind someone that is harder. Someone who makes you squirm a little. Someone you have some conflict or issues or challenges with. Here it's probably best to pick someone that you don't really have a full-boiled big problem with. Maybe someone just periodically things go a little south, or maybe a public figure you wish was better than they seem to be. Bring to mind in this context of kindness and love, this other person who's hard. Maybe you don't agree with them. Many parts of them are actually really toxic from your point of view. You're probably pretty sure that you're right about that. That's how we tend to run. And holding that person gently in your mind and heart, you know, as best you can. Let's reflect that even though you have some problems in between you, issues, this person has received kindness from others the same kind of way you have. They've had teachers, parents, good friends, or mentors who help them. And probably just like when you think of those people, they feel good. This person that you have difficulty with, they feel good that they have that in their lives when they think of it. And they too feel kindness for those dear people in their life. And so our gentle work here is to hold this person in mind and feel the aversion, feel the whatever it is, ickiness. Not to hide that. To see if you can meet that or feel it with the truth that this person too wants to be happy and doesn't want to suffer. And this person too has received great kindness and has given kindness to others, even if you haven't been there to see it. And then the next step is, we know we've touched in our mind someone we've received great kindness from, someone we have some difficulty with. Holding them both gently here as if they were both here. It's a practice of evenness. May I be as kind and compassionate, you know, in a wise way, with both of these beings, equally. Is that possible? May I be kind and compassionate in a wise way with both of these beings, just as fully, just as wholeheartedly, as equally as I can manage. If you've lost the thread, that does happen. You might practice with your eyes closed, open, I mean, if there's a lot of sleepiness, that can help. You might bring a little more energy to the inhale. On the other hand, if this feels very agitating, bring more energy to the exhale and feel the groundedness of the body in the chair. And maybe don't worry about the instructions too much if you feel agitated. What we've just done is brought to mind that all beings exchange kindness with each other, are compassionate in some way, and holding in your heart somebody that you've experienced that with, somebody you haven't so much. And bodhicitta is pointing to this possibility, even if it's just in our imagination or just something we're thinking of or pointing towards, of equal compassion for all. Doesn't mean we let people run over us or, you know, that we don't object to things that aren't right. It's about how we orient. And here's a traditional phrase. You can try this on for size. How wonderful it would be if all beings were free of suffering and its causes. May they all be free. I will help them be free. May all beings equally have happiness and its causes. I will help all beings be happy. How wonderful it would be. It's true, right? It'd be amazing if all beings could be free from suffering and happy. Joyful, contented, whatever the word is for you. May they be free. I will help all beings be free. May they be happy and joyful. I will help all beings be happy and joyful. And this is the intention of my life. And then let's just kind of work with this and whatever feels right for you. Maybe you're sort of maintaining a thread of presence of these two example folks, or maybe you've let them go. Maybe there's a focus of warmth in the heart, or maybe it's an opening of the whole body. Maybe breathing in and breathing out, there's some connection to suffering and joy. Breathe in suffering, you can breathe in what you need. You could breathe out healing and sharing if you like. Holding it all lightly and just customizing and experimenting. See what comes up. And if you get disoriented in all those instructions, that's a pile of them. Just sitting and being present, as I said. It's all in itself, a complete and wonderful this. So we'll go a few more minutes. Back in that sense of each moment is a kind of an invitation. Invitation to explore, to be, to feel, to grow. What's being invited in your practice right now? And then right now.